Thank you for Dave, and we just want to ask your blessing on him this morning again. Lord, your word is there for us to read, and your word is there for us to hear. And this morning as we hear it, Lord, I just pray that you'd help our meditations on you to be sweet. Help us really to be open sponges to receive what you're going to say to us this morning. And bless your servant in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Well, we have been and will continue to be speaking about Christ's glorious vision for his church, the glorious church of Jesus Christ. We've talked about that the church is a body, and we've seen that demonstrated this morning just in what's been announced here. It takes a body of people to make family camp happen. And by the way, George Rands is the pastor at the church in Enderby. They're part of the Salt and Light family. And he just has a really cool life story. And for years, I've thought I'd love for our church to spend some time with George and Linda. So pray for Linda, because she needs to get the day off work to be able to come down and join us for family camp. But they're going to come. But other things have been happening in the body of Christ. We've got youth leaders coming in from several places to plan this camp that we just heard about. And you're going to be movie stars on Facebook, which is a computer network, if you're not familiar. And things happen, like, you know, pastors sometimes notice that hot water heaters are leaking and don't have the presence of mind to shut off the water supply. Instead, they just kind of think, oh, yeah, we got to get to that. And anyway, so a little leak turns into 1 inch on the floor of the office building. It was this pastor, not the other pastor, by the way. Charlie and Judy are in Merritt right now at Roy's cabin, and they'll be back on Tuesday. And so then the body of Christ helps out with all of the mistakes that pastors make, like not turning off the hot water tank. But when that particular deacon has his own hot water tank broken, which is Jim, then wouldn't you know, Marius and Don put in hours and hours to clean up all the mess and rent dryers and fix it for us. And Fred, thank you very much for all of you who put in the time to help with that. Isn't the church good? We have a wonderful church. The body of Christ is wonderful. And he has ways of providing for all kinds of things. Even this morning, we get part of our extended family from the Vernon Church to come home and play drums for us. And it's nice. And I don't know if you noticed, but the sound was wonderful this morning. And you think you just have an awesome worship team. But you see, we have years and years of faithful worship teams. Today they sounded great because this week there was a sound seminar. And our sound people had particular training. And they're probably frustrated with me because I moved the microphone up right now. And they're worried that they're going to get feedback. So if we do, we're going to have to move backwards again. But anyway, that's all the body of Christ. Because somebody from the Willington Church, he just messed me up. Wayne, did you hear the mic go off? He's being naughty back there. Somebody from the Willington Church, who is very good at this, came and gave their time. We paid them, but they came and gave their time to train our sound people. And they had the heart of the Lord, and they had excellence as well. So the church is glorious. The church is a body. The church is a temple. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is, Scripture calls us, the household of God, where he lives. And today we say the church is witnesses of his resurrection. Christ's glorious vision that he would build a people, and one of the things that people would do would be to witness to his resurrection. What's a witness? Kids, you get to be with us. God's workshop. Who's in God's workshop normally? Grade 5 and younger. What's a witness? Okay, Daniel? No, you're my son. I can't ask you. Somebody who's not my family. Joshua, what's a witness? Somebody that was there. Excellent. And if you're there, what does that give you? If you're a witness, you're someone who knows something. Hey? Somebody else. What's a witness? What else does a witness do? Testifies. They tell people what they saw, what they heard, what they experienced, and they say, I know it's true. I saw it happen over here. And so the church is Christ's witnesses, and we say, I know he's alive. I know he lives in me. I saw him in Don. I saw him in Wayne. He is alive. And Christ has this grand vision that his church is a witness to the world that he is alive. I want to say four things about this witness. And for those of you who are concerned about soccer, we will finish before 11:30, guaranteed. All right, there's a big soccer game going on. And some people are very, very in fear and trepidation about whether or not their team can pull it off. Other people are very excited because they know their team's going to win. Number one, responsibility. Witnessing to his resurrection. Number one, the responsibility of witnessing. Do you know a witness who was there knows? You know something that the world does not know. You know something that one outside of the household of God does not know. You experience a life and a fellowship that people outside of the church do not know. And how can they know unless someone who does know tells them? That gives us a huge responsibility. Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 24. You might remember the story where two men were on the road to Emmaus and Jesus walked along beside, chatting with them. And then all of a sudden he reveals who he is and disappears. And those two guys go running all the way back to the other disciples at Jerusalem. And when they get there, they say, it's true. It's true. Christ has appeared to Peter also. And then poof, Jesus appears in the room again. And they're kind of like, oh, my goodness, is this a ghost? Is this for real? What's going on? And Jesus, hey, give me a piece of fish. Come on, let's have dinner. And Jesus eats in front of them. And they're like, OK, ghosts don't eat fish. This must be real. And then in that context, Jesus says this. He opened their minds. This is Luke 24, verse 45. So that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, note this, you are witness of these things. Jesus tells them, this is what's going to happen. What has happened is the resurrection. I'm alive. I just ate fish with you. What's going to happen? Repentance is going to be preached. Forgiveness is going to be preached. All nations are going to know. And it's going to start right here in your hometown. You're my witnesses. You can testify that I'm alive. And that's the word that we hear today. This is what has happened. He did die. He did raise from the dead. He's alive. And it's going to start in your hometown. You're my witnesses. There's a responsibility that comes with having experienced our life in Christ with him and his people. Paul recalls his own calling when he's telling the story in Acts chapter 22. And he says, the God of our fathers, he's repeating the vision that he had and what was said to him by the angel. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one, to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away. And Paul is describing the conversion he had when that bright light shone and Jesus spoke to him. And he was told at that time, you have been chosen to know his will, to see the righteous one, to hear his words. Now go. And this is the word to us. We didn't just happen to know Jesus. We didn't find Jesus. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you to go and bear fruit. And this is the message that he gave to Paul when he was met on the road to Damascus as well. I'm choosing you. I'm giving you the opportunity to see the righteous one. I'm giving you the opportunity to hear his word. I'm giving you the opportunity. Now, what are you waiting for? Go and get started. You will be my witness. And so we have a responsibility because we know. We have a greater responsibility because we're specifically chosen to know. We didn't just happen to be driving by. We were chosen to be revealed to. The glorious church of Jesus Christ witnesses to his resurrection. First, responsibility. Second, empowerment. The Holy Spirit. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We read in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is telling them, I'm going to send you out, and there's going to be times where you're going to have trouble. There's going to be times where you're brought in front of officials and judges, and they're going to throw you in jail, and they're going to persecute you, they're going to harm you, they're going to treat you wrong. You're not going to have justice. Things are going to go bad. But when that happens, chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 19, when they arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. At the time you need it. Why? Because verse 18 says, it's on my account that these things will happen. It's for my sake that you will sometimes be mistreated. Are you willing to go through that? For his sake? To glory in the opportunity for his sake being mistreated. For my purpose, verse 18 says, it's on my account. It's on my debit card. It's on my books. On my account, you will be brought before the governors and the kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. There are times that you will be brought out in public. There are times that you will be made a mockery of because God is giving you an opportunity to speak to a wider audience. When that happens, don't worry about what you say. He'll give you the words. Empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Or as Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we often look at this as we're looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we need to look at this as we're looking at sharing the good news, witnessing, testifying to the resurrection. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is right before Jesus ascends back into heaven. He's resurrected from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples. And right before he ascends into heaven in front of them, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Jesus charged us to be witnesses, and he didn't leave us as orphans, but he empowers us by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't expect us to just witness what we've seen like a bystander. He expects us to witness what we know and to be empowered as we witness through the Holy Spirit. In troubled times in front of rulers, or in peaceful times in front of anybody in your hometown, Jesus plans to empower you with the Holy Spirit so that you can witness. My only uncle on my mom's side is kind of a rough truck driver guy. And he always has these little sayings. And one of his favorite sayings is, Dave, God didn't call us to be lawyers or judges. He called us to be witnesses. And that's always helped me. That's my Uncle Dan. But yeah, I don't need to decide. I don't need to critique. I don't need to judge. I don't need to make up my mind about this. I'm called to witness to his life. I'm called just to tell what he's done for me. It's good news. And that brings us to number three, the message. What is the message? Turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 39. I'll just give you a moment to turn there. Acts 10, verse 39. Peter has been brought before Cornelius by a vision. Cornelius was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a centurion. And he had a vision. He was a man who sought God, even though he wasn't part of the Jewish nation. And in this vision, he was told to send to Joppa, go get Peter and bring him back. So Peter comes to show him the way. And in chapter 10, we have a very concise summary of what is the message that we give to non-Christians seeking God. What is the message that we witness to? Verse 39, Peter puts it this way. We are witnesses of everything he did. And you can summarize this message. That would be point A. What is it that we're a witness to? First, everything he did. When we talk to people, we tell them about who Jesus is from what we know in the scriptures. And we tell them about who Jesus is from what we know in our own lives, what we've experienced. And so Peter puts it this way. We are witnesses about everything that Jesus did. We were there. I was out in my boat one day fishing. And he starts telling stories about what it's like to be with Jesus. Number two, they killed him by hanging him on the tree. Number three, but God raised him from the dead. And on the third day, number four, caused him to be seen. This isn't just some theology. They were witnesses that actually saw him alive over those 40 days. Verse 41, he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one. What are we on? Number five, that God appointed as judge. Jesus is alive and he is the appointed judge. There's a second coming. There's a giving of account. There's a time when we all face him. And Jesus is the judge of that time, the living and the dead. Verse 43, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes, number six, receives forgiveness. That everyone who believes receives forgiveness of sins through the name of Jesus. And while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on the people and they began to speak in tongues. What an amazing day they had. But the gospel we see is very, very simple. We are called to be witnesses. We have a responsibility. We know. And the message that we have is the message empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's a message of, one, here's the life of Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus. Two, he died for your sins. Three, God raised him from the dead. Four, people saw him after he was alive. Five, God appointed Jesus as the judge. And six, believe and be forgiven. Receive him and be forgiven. Believe in him. That's our message. That's what we have to give to people. That's what we have to witness about. We witness to what we know in our own lives. Do you know that he's alive? Do you know that he's the judge that I will someday give an account to? And do you live in forgiveness having believed in his name? This is our message. And lastly, number four, the way to witness. The responsibility to witness, the empowerment to witness, the message we witness, and number four, the way in which we witness. Just a few practical points I want to make. It's called the gospel. That word means what? Good news. The way we witness must always include good news. Whatever we say about Jesus, whatever we say about the second coming, whatever we say about him being the judge, is good news. keep that in mind when we're talking to people. Everything we talk to them about somehow is good news for those who believe. Is good news for the person I'm talking to. Everything about it is good news for them if they believe. Obviously, if they don't believe and they wind up in fire and brimstone and hell, it's not good news. But if they believe, everything we give them is good news. We have good news. There's salvation from the wrath of Almighty God. That's good news. There's salvation from the wrath that is hanging over all of mankind. That's good news. There's freedom for captives. There's freedom for prisoners. Everything we want to talk to you about is about freedom. As Jeff read this morning from Galatians, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. There's redemption of everything that has been lost. Redemption of everything that has been lost. Yesterday, a number of us were at Mike Meeking's memorial, and Pastor Bob Paragello from All Nations Church was speaking. I thought he did such a good job of dealing with the situation of sickness on this earth that's not healed. And he said something like, well, Mike fought hard against cancer, and we fought with him, and we prayed for him, and God decided it'd just be easier to take care of on his side instead of on our side. And I thought, wow. And then he gave us the passage in Hebrews. All of the heroes of the saints, followed by, they didn't receive the promise in this life. All of them were still waiting, and they never did get what was promised to them. Why? Because they were looking forward to a country that they weren't living in yet, and now they're there. What a way to deal with sickness and disease. In this life, we see the first fruits, and sometimes people are healed, but eventually 10 out of 10 die. Sometimes we see first fruits and people are healed, but always, if we're believers, he can take us to the other side and give us full redemption. And the same is true if you've been abused. In this life, he can heal your heart. But let me tell you, in the next life, there'll be no more mourning, no more sadness. You'll have full redemption. That's good news. How about your own failing? What if you messed up a marriage? What if you failed your children? What if you failed your business? In this life, he gives us joy. He gives us life. But in that life, those memories won't even be thought of. Full redemption of all that has been lost or even taken. It's good news. Everything we tell people is good news. We talk about lifestyle. We talk about how God wants us to live. It's the best way to live. Oh, we know it's hard sometimes because we have this sinful nature that rebels. But we know that choosing his way is always life. It is the best way to live. Everything we share with people about how to live is good news. The way that we witness is good news. The way that we witness also needs to be available, needs to be shared in a way that it's available to all. We're not part of a special Christian club. We have no borders. You too can come and have life. We're not special just because there's certain nations that are included. Oh, but you're from the Hindu nations. You're from the Muslim nations. That's your country's faith. No. This is good news for the Hindus who want to come. This is good news for the Muslims who want life. This is available for anyone in any nation, anywhere. No one is left out because of something they've done. This is good news. It's available to you. And so our message has to always say it's available. Do you know so many people think I need to first clean up my act before I can become part of a church? There's lots of people who believe in Jesus and want to fellowship with you, but they think, I need to fix my life before I can be among God's people. And we just tell them, so do you clean up before you take a shower? That's the whole point. Just come and drink of his life. He'll shower you. His pure rivers will cleanse you. You don't get clean before you take a bath. Come into the church as you are. Believe and receive. It's available to you. The way we witness, good news, available. And lastly, shared with innocence. I love this part. I don't quite know how to put it into the right words. But you know, when you have witnessed something and you're convinced that it's good news, you just innocently share it with people. You don't have to think up, dream up, figure out the right way to get an angle in the door. Think about it. You walk in the kitchen, dinner's made, the table's set, and your wife or kids, your mom says, dinner's ready. Can you tell everybody else? What do? You run out to the yard and say, hey, dinner's ready. Come on, time to eat. You assume it's good news. Once in a while, you get slapped and somebody says, I'm not hungry or I don't like pasta. OK, but you don't assume that. You assume we've got a great dinner. I just saw it in the other room. Come on, guys, time to eat. And so you share with innocence, without guile. Or like later on today, you might innocently call up the Schwartz home and say, Spain won! Ha! Spain won! Uh-oh. I mean, these guys are going to miss the rest of today's sermon that is so offensive. But for someone else, that's just good news. I missed that. Whatever your news is, if you fully see it, if you witness it, and if you witness Jesus, you know it's good news. And you just innocently share with people. One day I was walking through Hastings Park and two neighbors asked me, oh, this is about 3 years ago, what do you think about that bill that's going through the federal government right now? And it was the bill C-30 something or other about marriage. So what does your church teach about marriage is what they asked me. And I said, well, just what Genesis says, that God made one man and one woman and put them together.
Oh, well, then we'll just agree to disagree.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were lesbians. I just innocently shared. It's good news. This is God's plan for marriage. Hey, there's other good news. Hamilton's here. Sorry to interrupt, but Hamilton, you have been sick for far too long. Welcome back. That's good news. Hamilton was dealing with some sports infection. Staph infection. What about other messages? Can you innocently share that God has given me a wonderful way to live? It's the best way to live. Come on, have what I have. Now, you know, I've been involved for quite some time talking about the gambling situation. How do you share about that as good news? Let me tell you what you don't do. And let me tell you what the news media assumes the church thinks. The news media assumes that we say it's wrong to gamble. And that's our message. That's not our message. Our message is, hey, friend, let me warn you. Somebody's trying to deceive you. There's somebody out here who's manipulating you. And the only reason they've got a foothold in your life is because, well, none of us really like to work. And we all wish that we'd, you know, we got this greed inside of us. It just wants the life to get easy. And maybe we'd get our quick break and we'll have it be a millionaire and we won't have to work anymore. We all kind of want that. But because of that, you're really susceptible. And these guys are preying upon you. Oh, it's your provincial government? Yeah, I know it's your provincial government. Your tax dollars pay them to figure out how to do this. But anyway, they are preying upon you. And every 2 minutes, there's an ad on your radio telling you that you've got a chance to win. What they don't tell you is you've got 13 million chances to lose. That's these stats for Super 7 Lotto. 13 million losers make one winner for Super 7. Isn't that awesome? I mean, if you win, you just suckered 13,000 people, million people. Whoa. Right? You just got them to give you money. No, that's not good news, is it? So our message is not, it's wrong for a Christian to gamble. Our message is, God loves you. You've got this thing called sin that kind of doesn't want to work, kind of doesn't want to be faithful, kind of doesn't want to go to the factory every day. And because of that, evil people are trying to prey upon you. There's a better way. Now that's good news. Sometimes we tell young people, is the message, it's wrong to live together before you're married? You know what another message is? There's good news. You are so valuable to God. You are made in His image. You matter to Him. No one deserves your intimacy without a lifetime covenant. You are worth far more than that. Don't ever be so foolish as to just give yourself away without a lifetime covenant. Why would you do that? That's good news. It says you're valuable. You matter. Not just here's the 10 rules of Christianity. It's wrong to do drugs. Don't shoot up. Don't get high. There's a better way to say things. Think about what happens when you turn on News 1130 and it says, accident on Portman Bridge. Okay, let's go past Jeff and Andrews and take the Patilla Bridge. Why? Because I'm going to take a shortcut. I'm not going to waste 5 hours on the Portman Bridge if there's an accident. I'll go around on a different bridge. And the message about drugs is, friend, I've only met about 100 people who went down this road. 100% of them wasted a lot of time. And they lost a lot to their life. It ain't worth it. Don't sit in a traffic jam for the next 30 years. Take a shortcut and just say no. That's good news. You're saying to people, God is on your side. Don't be deceived by short-lived temptation that Satan throws at you. God has another way. When we share our faith with people, it should be the first thing that happens in our relationship. Think about marriage. Think about the young girl that gets engaged. Suddenly, all of these encounters that the girl used to have, she now lays her hand on the table. Why? Because it's got this diamond on it. And suddenly these conversations that used to happen with the young people change. She meets new young people and she does it with her hand on the countertop, saying, I'm taken. I belong to somebody. Why is that? Because we want to guard our marriages. We wear a ring so that everyone knows Dave's taken. He belongs to Tina. I'll relate to you as a person. I'll relate to you as a friend. But there's no opportunity here. I belong to her. She belongs to me. This is what we do with Jesus. The first time we meet our neighbors, don't go through 3 or 4 months of letting them think that you're just like them. Drop a hint. Let them see the ring. Let them know that you are committed to the eternal covenant with Jesus, that He owns you, that He's purchased you, that you belong to Him, and that you won't be entering into other covenants, whatever they might want to suck you into. It makes life so much easier to share the good news, to witness to the one who we know His life. This summer, may God help all of us to be His church that witnesses to His resurrection. We have a responsibility because we know He's empowered us with the Holy Spirit every time we open our mouth. The message is clear and simple. His life, His death, His resurrection, it was seen. It's believed on. There's an appointed judge, and if you believe in him, you're saved. And the message can be done in a way that is good news in every situation. God bless you.